B-Pod Studios.
Zillak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's up, bud?
Hi.
Hey, is 50% good?
Yeah.
50% is good.
Sure.
Like, so if your kid brought home a 50% on a test, that'd be good.
Yeah, you got half of them right. Good for you.
Well, supposed to have Beetle, Zoe, Hardy, Bert Breer. We have two of the people here at the freezer. We call this Warrior Ice Arena.
Bert is supposed to be with us from the jump today.
Well, we're at 70% now because Beatles just strolled in.
75.
Brutal traffic this morning.
Three out of four is 75.
That's what I said. We're up to 75%.
You said 70.
I did?
Yeah.
I retract that. Now I say 75% since I'm driving the bus now.
Wow, that's no fun out there, huh?
Out there. Coming down through Brookline, I don't miss this old drive, I tell you that.
By the way, today's not the day to complain because a lot of people are dealing with a lot more than traffic problems today.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. A lot of people without power, especially people down here on South Shore, call Monster Tree Service. They did my yard. They said they have had nonstop calls.
Shameless.
They do have trucks available. They will take care of your yard, get rid of those trees, those down power lines, and try and get you up to speed, get you back in power. How are you guys doing?
I lost like half a tree last night.
What'd you do the other half?
Did you what?
What happened to the other half?
No, I mean like half of it.
Oh, half it fell.
Yeah.
So you got to get out there and get that thing cut. Call Monster Tree Service. I'll take care of it.
I'll take care of it.
We'll be there. You got a chainsaw? You do have a chainsaw.
I got all that stuff. Don't you worry
about
me.
Plus, you got like this big hill. You can just sort of push it down. Bye.
Yeah.
We were going to start with Michael Bennett with Bert Breer to get the latest, but Bert's not here. I talked to Bert. He might be a little late.
I'm starting with tonight's game. I think it's sneaky big game.
Why don't we start with something else? Yeah. Because we've talked about Michael Bennett. I mean, we don't have any new info, but Burp might, so we'll wait for him.
We went through this a week ago as to what type of game was going to be. Did it matter how you win, or was it a get-through game for the Patriots, right? Based on the type of injuries they had, we kind of said, let's get through this game. Let's get to an 11-day bye, sort of, so to speak, to maybe get some things healthy to get you to that Monday night game against the Jets. So are we fair to the Chiefs tonight? Because I think the Chiefs need to roll tonight. Because a lot of people have discounted the Chiefs.
Why?
Felger's out on them. I'm sort of down on them.
Because they lost
two. I've elevated the Texans above them now as the team to beat in the AFC.
If you lose two games early on in the season, I get it.
And Arrowhead.
But they lost two at home.
And how they lost them and their inability to score. Like, I don't know if they could afford from a perspective standpoint. Now, they'll probably tell you.
Right.
Yeah,
they've
we're doing
two at home, Marty, which means they're undefeated on the road, which means they're a good road team.
I guess they're a good road team. But you go and
there's,
beat it.
There's another side to
what
that coin.
If you squeak by a crappy Denver team at Denver?
Are you worried about how many votes you get in the coaches' poll? I mean,
I think they need to be Oklahoma tonight.
We're worried about style points on a short week for them.
I think they may need to be Alabama or Oklahoma tonight, where they need to roll to get back. I don't want to say on the map of things here in the AFC or to even be considered as a contender, because right now I think a lot of people are really down on the Chiefs.
You're holding the Chiefs to a different standard than you hold the Patriots to. You're holding them to a different standard.
Be careful.
Because when the Patriots play on a short week,
what did I say?
You say, hey, just get in, get out, get a win, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So
but from a Chiefs perspective,
I might be able to get on board with this if the game were on Sunday.
Okay.
But it's a Thursday night game on the road at Denver.
And
if it were a short week and the Patriots were playing at Denver, where they suck and everybody sucks because Denver is a real home field advantage. And I think Denver and Kansas City are the real home field advantages in the NFL. Denver. What a house of horrors.
Well, this is
except the fact that they're coming off of two home losses.
Two home losses.
And that changes the not the expectation, but that changes the ask.
Why? Throw that into the mix, even if that were the Patriots situation.
Here's another caveat.
You would be saying,
it's never happened.
Get a win. Get a win and get on track.
Look how we've even struggled out.
On a short week.
If the Patriots...
you'd be saying, get a win and get the long layoff and get things right during that 10-day break. That's what we'd be saying.
I said it last week. So I preface it with that, but I think this is different because of the way the Chiefs are built and what the Chiefs are supposed to be, because they don't have a good defense. Now, if we were going out to play Denver, you know what we would do?
What?
We'd leave on Friday. To try and at least give your body a chance.
Well, not for a Thursday game.
If it was Sunday, we would leave on a Friday, 2 days in advance, to at least try and get your body the ability or give your body the ability to maybe adjust to the altitude. This could be worst-case scenario for the Chiefs. Tough game on Sunday against the Texans. You're the travel team, so you got to get on a plane yesterday. Basically, you have one walkthrough to get ready for them. Yeah, it's a divisional opponent, so you should know them a little bit. But it's still, Denver's got some different bodies. And you're going in the night before, and you got to go out and play in a different altitude, and you're down some people. So this is a tough spot for the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. It really is. If they go and blow doors tonight, I have a lot of respect for them.
Is it a tough spot, or do they have to blow doors?
It's a tough
spot.
Because
those are two different
things. And if they go out and handle this tough spot above and beyond, I have a lot of respect for the way they handle things this week.
I don't think it's that tough of a spot. And the home field advantage in Denver is for real, but so is good. Supposed to be the home field advantage at Arrowhead. So maybe we just kind of like ignore the whole home field advantage here for the sake of this conversation.
I think it's greater at Denver
because
there's a physical difference there.
You can't
playing there.
When you warm up, man.
Physical difference. It's harder to play there. That the guys who live there and practice there every day are more acclimated to doing it than the guys who are not. Forget the crowd noise.
Your chest bounce, man.
Forget, you know, sleeping in a different bed. No, physically going out,
you like
stepping
going for
off
a 5 mile
plane
run
and trying
in November.
To play.
You like going for a 5 mile run in November.
Love it. Oh, love it. That burn.
That's the way when you're.
Oh, it's a deep burn.
You go out, you take that 100-yard little jog down before warm ups, and you come back here. Water, you know, you're grabbing water, you're trying to get loose, and you're like, we're not affected by it. You walk in, they got towels covering the elevation. They got it right there, how many miles above sea level. Everybody, the Patriots are taping towels up so they don't see it. It gets in your head. It messes with you. Not only does it get in your head, it gets in your body. It messes with your body.
And the Patriots have sucked there forever, Hardy.
They have.
Forever. So I buy in on it. I do.
Come on, let's go Denver.
As a Patriots fan, I buy in on that
Chiefs
thing.
Have three losses,
that place
six
sucked.
Weeks in. That'd be awesome.
You don't ever want to go to Denver for anything. For anything.
Denver's awesome. It's great.
Unless
city.
You're there to smoke weed. That's the only city. Thing you want to go to Denver for.
Good food.
You don't want to
really
go there to play food. Football. That's a bad place to go play football. Bad place.
Yeah, sneaky bad crime rate in Denver. Murder rate.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How'd you find that out, man?
I'll be in there, and they said, don't walk. Don't be alone on the street.
be in there, yep. Talking to the people.
They're like, wow, this is a beautiful town. Like, I couldn't believe it. But I guess once
they're
you
like, yeah, but don't go out after sundown. Yeah,
don't go,
murders
don't go
everywhere.
Five streets down that way.
People getting murdered left
walking
and
groups.
Right.
Walking groups.
Yeah. Don't ride the trolleys.
Sneaky, raw, tough city.
Thursday night football, Chiefs and Broncos.
I can't wait
and the
to watch
Broncos
football,
are 2-4. What's Emmanuel Sanders' status tonight? That's a real question for me.
That's a good question.
Is he going to play?
I hope he plays. I mean, what's Denver got to look forward to? That's what you worry about in this game.
He's good to go, according to reports.
Yeah, I can believe that when I see it.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's...
Should be looking at his chops against his defense, though.
Denver violent crime rate saw largest rise among large cities in 2018.
Thank you. Sneaky, violent city.
Sneaky, violent. Benjamin Albright.
You see it. It's
they're
pretty.
Sneaky,
like,
murdery.
Boulder. You're 50 minutes from Boulder, one of the most beautiful college towns. Gorgeous ski slopes everywhere. You have big barn doors. You got horses up and down the street. Carriages. And murders everywhere.
Yeah. Benjamin Albright,
yeah,
who
wants to go there, kill
Wild
people.
Reports on the NFL, talk show host, reporter, and analyst in Colorado. Although I feel like he had something exposed about him recently. Didn't he lie about his track record or something, getting into Harvard or something? There's been something with him. I don't know. He's been caught in some scandal recently.
Yeah,
but anyway, he reports, although I believe over the years, Jim Louth can tell me if I'm wrong, that when he's reported things on the league, he's had a decent track record of reporting rumors. Several teams have called about Emmanuel Sanders. Patriots, Packers, Niners, Saints, and then he writes, et cetera. What do you mean, et cetera? What is the et cetera team? Which team is that?
Why even put that in?
Yeah, Patriots, Packers, Niners, Saints, etc.
What like
is that a team now?
Eight more teams.
Team, etc. And all other teams in the league that may need a receiver have called on Emmanuel Sanders. But he mentions four teams there.
Et cetera, hashtags.
And the Patriots being the first one, he writes that all have been told not available right now. All have been told by the Broncos that he's not available.
Well, they got to make sure they're dead in the water. Right? You still got a couple weeks.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
they
can
wait
a couple weeks till trade.
They
deadline.
Can wait until they get to the deadline.
Well, what they're trying to do too is maximize things. Plus, he wasn't healthy, right? So if he's healthy, you're
right.
Going to get
right.
Going to get
better he's worth return. More. He's worth more. More. If all
right.
of a sudden he goes out tonight
right.
and proves that his knee is good and catches eight passes for 100 right. yards.
Ooh, sell.
And all of a sudden they'll be like, ah, hey guys, we'll call back all those teams this week and say, guys, he's available.
Right. Call it etc.
He's available now. Call etc. and say he's available. It can't be related to they're 2-4. They're dead. I mean, they're not going anywhere. It's got to be related to the health. So watching his health in this game tonight is important, watching how he produces.
I mean, the Chargers are getting their ass kicked. Kansas City's got two losses. The other team, the Oakland's got two losses. So, I mean, theoretically, they're only two games out of first. They're not really technically dead yet. They lose tonight, I think you can start calling them dead. They win tonight. It's going to make it interesting out there. They have a chance. I don't think they have a chance.
617-779-0985. We will do our best to get Burt Breer here. Not that we have any control over that, but hopefully Burt will be here soon. And
well, you do have control over it. Like, I've never been late in my life to anything, really. I mean, I've pushed it.
Really?
I've been on two wheels.
Never been late to anything?
Not really. I mean, I've pushed it right to the seconds.
Well,
how long have we been doing a show together? You recall me being late?
Unless
I was held up by coach, maybe, down in Foxborough once
or twice. Bert's got no power, and the trees are down, and his kids have no school.
Kind of planned for it. Yeah.
I mean,
I planned for it. I left early today.
Your kids in school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Living in the suburbs.
What?
Living in the suburbs, buddy.
What does that have to do?
Good power grids out there.
That is the opposite of the dumbest thing.
The city has the best power grid.
Right.
I've ever heard with regard to power grids come out of your mouth.
I'm just trying to make it up. They did upgrade our power grid because we had this transformer. It always blows.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Burt Breer will be with us coming up next. We're at Warrior today here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Generator.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Burt Breer is with us. He was actually outside. He was just locked out.
It's windy out there, man. It was like a tornado for a second there. Yeah. really, really bad.
It's bad wind.
Yeah. Bad wind. Maybe that's why the traffic was so bad getting over here.
Man.
I mean, we all went through that.
What?
How'd your tree fall home? Just fell over?
Was
it windy out or no? Bert just said it's windy out.
It's windy out there.
Well, I think Bird was...
really windy. Bird.
Very Bert. Windy. No, really windy.
We're talking like F1 tornado level gusts last night. 70 miles an hour?
Did you say F1 tornado?
F1.
F1.
Is that a ranking of tornado?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. P-Town. P-Town.
F5.
Learn something new every day.
You ever watched Twister before?
Yeah, wow, yeah, that's a good call. Now I remember that, yep.
Burt Breer of
the Fujita scale.
Burt Breer of the MMQB is with us. He is brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. Has your bank changed? Then change where you bank. At Rockland Federal Credit Union, they have the account for you, providing their members with quality, convenient, and friendly service. Visit rfcu.com today to find a location near you. Burt, is there a trade partner in the NFL for Michael Bennett?
I mean, I think he's got some value still. He's not overly expensive. And, I think it'd have to be another contender because he's older. There's obviously the personality issue, which, you know, if you're a young rebuilding team, you're not going to introduce that into your locker room.
Right.
So it would have to be another team that has a need. The obvious one to me, and it's funny because that bridge has been lit on fire, would be Philly. Like, Philly needs some help on the defensive line.
Well, I heard Philly wouldn't want him back.
Yeah, they would not want him back.
Something happened.
That bridge was already napalm.
His Philly sources said, no, I don't want him back.
That's not happening.
See, I've talked to a bunch of people here, meaning in New England. Yeah. They said, he's a good dude. He's different, but he's a good dude.
He is. He plays by his own rules. That's the problem with him.
He doesn't have the ability to infect this locker room to the negative side, does he? One guy with this veteran leadership that they have?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, no.
Yeah, because I think
If you're a younger team, yeah. Then yes.
Okay.
Like, where the infrastructure is what it is here, like, they're, I mean, is he going to affect Devin McCourty
or Kyle Van Noy?
It's not going to affect anybody here. But, like, with a younger team, like, all right, say you send him to Baltimore where – they've already got some – they're working with a lot of new guys. They lost C.J. Mosley. They lost Eric Weddle. They lost Terrell Suggs. And they're integrating new guys in. I know they feel like they've been a little soft on defense. They need to get tougher. Would you introduce Michael Bennett into that? Probably not, because you've got too many things. You've got too many sort of balls in the air, right? But there are some teams where the infrastructure is probably a little stronger. The one that could make some sense to me – Houston? I mean, like...
But you play... The, like, they're going to be...
Where, them for the one. They lost... Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, but they lost the presence of Clowney, and they look like... I mean, look, they took a lot of criticism for the Larry McTunsell trade. That looks like it's working.
You're talking about a team that's hoping to compete with New England at the end of the season.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, so I think you'd have to look over to the NFC again. Philly's out just because of where they... Just because of... The past history there.
Excuse me, I'm going to go get that puck and throw it back down.
Did they lower that net since last season?
Yeah. Are we unsafe over here, Beto?
They lowered the net a little bit.
Wow. Maybe they don't like you guys.
Right? Is that net lower? It feels lower.
Katink.
It feels lower. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Throw it back.
It's a puck.
Throw it back.
I'll hit him again. Do you want me to hit him?
Throw it back.
Throw it back.
Hey, souvenir.
Let me see. Is this a black one? Not even a official Bruins anything?
You chew on it.
Not even a souvenir for the kid?
Ooh, made in Canada. It's official.
Oh, it's Canadian.
Ooh, that's cold.
Yeah. Well, they keep them frozen.
That biscuit in a basket, huh? That we got a problem here.
Throw it back.
Yeah,
throw
no
back.
Kidding.
Throw it back.
Yeah.
Come on, Zoe. Give it right back to him.
Make it the other end of the... Oh.
What's that?
There you go, Zoe.
There you go. Oh.
So a couple of teams that like Atlanta would have made sense, but they're not contending, you know, because Dan Quinn has the
head on a swivel, boys.
I know. Look out now. Somebody might be exacting revenge over here. Atlanta might have made sense because Dan Quinn coached Michael Bennett in Seattle, right?
Yes.
So that's one that could make sense. You could make the argument Gus Bradley with the Chargers, if they needed something to rejuvenate their defense, kind of give them a spark, maybe that would be another one. They've got some depth at receiver, so maybe that would be one. Again, that's a team that's in the AFC, so you might be reluctant to do that.
What about Falcons?
The Falcons, the thing about the Falcons is they're 1-5 right now. And are they really going to be selling out? Like, Why would Atlanta want to do that?
Well, right that was now? When we Sanu? Talked about it yesterday.
I mean, Sanu. I think Sanu is in play. By the way, like, I would tell you right now, like, I think there's a chance Sanu could be a Patriot in 2 weeks.
Is that something outside of Bennett?
But if you're the Falcons and you're making a trade and you want to, you know, be engaging in trade talks on any of your players on your roster. Do you want to take back Michael Bennett, or are you looking for picks?
Would you be looking for picks?
Why would you take back Bennett if
you're 1-5?
Unless you view Michael Bennett as a great player for not this year, but next year.
Or,
and you look at next year and say, oh, this guy's going to be here for a couple of seasons.
Or Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff feel the heat, and they're just taking a swing for their job. Like, maybe we bring this guy in and we can get hot. And we can save our jobs.
What about Detroit?
But like a lot of times when a coach and a GM are in that sort of spot, the owner won't sign off on deals like that to try and save a player's job or a coach's job, you know? So
If Quinn's on his way out, you're right on that. But, yeah. like, Patricia seems like he's got Detroit heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
Like, that's a team should have only one loss. Danny Amendola hasn't played. This has been talked about for a couple days around here now. What about him for Amendola? And you got a great relationship with Patricia.
That's really interesting. That would be, I mean, like, that would
make
some
sense. Money's kind of even, right?
I mean, and Detroit's got the makings of a, like, Trey Flowers, despite what happened the other night, has been a good addition for them. Mike Daniels, like, that could add something to
them. And Hardy has reported through his sources that Danny Amendola is not opposed to the idea.
I think the issue with that would be if you're Matt Patricia and you're looking at, okay, so he's struggling to fit in New England. Like is he going to struggle to fit in here when he's finally looks like
he's got four man front that makes
his
all the
issue
sense
though
in the world.
Is, I mean his issue though is not that it's he's struggling to fit in, he's pissed off that he's not playing
right.
You bring him to Detroit, yeah. He's going to play.
That's fair.
Problem solved. He That's plays. Fair. Bring Again, him in. We play him. You help.
Unless
and,
just
and when but he has played, he hasn't played poorly.
Beetle, but if it took you this long to get it right. It took Matt Patricia a legitimate year and a half to get it where he wanted it, like culturally and everything else, yeah. right? Would you risk that by bringing in a guy who's blown his way out of the last three places he's been?
I'll tell you what would be way more important to me if I were Matt Patricia right now, winning more games.
Yeah.
Salvaging as many wins as I can down the stretch here.
And is Danny Amendola helping you right now?
No.
Gain a bunch of yards and put points on the board.
No.
No, but is Michael Bennett's not helping you right now? Is Michael Bennett could help you more around playing?
No, but he could help
Danny
Detroit.
But he could help Detroit.
Could help Detroit.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So and, I think I'd do this. I'd do the flip and keep Amendola on a pitch count until playoff time. Yeah, you know I mean,
because I think that if the Patriots were in a better situation cap wise, and the Patriots had this happen with Michael Bennett, I don't think we'd really be talking about do the Patriots need to trade him. I don't think the Patriots need to trade him because he's such a problem.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about it, but. I think that I think it only makes sense. I think it only makes sense to talk about trading this player because he's not playing. He's not contributing in a major way. He is a great depth piece, but he makes a ton of money and he's not playing. And now he's unhappy. So, hey, maybe you can actually move him, make him happy, move the money, and get a little something back in return that can help your team. Like, that's why I think we're talking about this. I think we should make that clear because I don't think he's such a problem that the Patriots locker room is impacted by him or the team is going to be impacted on the field.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
I don't think he's an issue.
I don't think like so.
What do you think about that?
I guess the only issue would be if you've got all these new coaches on that side of the ball, if you feel like he's undermining your D-line coach. Like, if you feel like in any way he's underlying your deal.
What do you think that fight was like?
I would pay for footage of that. I would pay to see the footage of that fight. If you can manage this over the next few weeks, like, he's such a unique player. And for all his problems, there's a reason why he's still, you know, teams still bring him in. And still are willing to pay him at the rate he's been paid the last 3 or 4 years. He's a very unique player who can do different things. And in a place, you know, here where the goal is to win the Super Bowl every year, I don't know that what you're going to get back from him for him outweighs, like, what he could be
right.
in January.
So that's
and that's,
thing.
Like, the thing. Is like, I don't know that bringing in, say, Danny Amendola, for example, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that bringing in Danny would outweigh what Bennett potentially could do for a dominant defense in January.
Well, that's playoff Dola, though.
No, but that,
I know.
That's,
I know what
you're saying. That's like your Dalis Thomas point. Like, the Dalis gave you nothing all year.
Right.
He couldn't play outside. He couldn't play inside. It's like
and then
he was
playoffs.
Stuck in the middle. And the playoffs, he had a great playoff run, and the Super Bowl is really freaking good.
And it's worth it. Like,
what if Bennett gets 2 sacks in an AFC title game?
If it makes the difference. Like in a playoff game, that's
crazy.
Worth it.
Find a way to bottle up crazy.
Yeah.
All right, we'll head to the headlines with Artie. We got a bunch of different league things we want to get to with Bert. You were at the league meetings, correct?
Yeah, I was.
Down in Florida, so you were caught up on everything that was being said down there by Roger Goodell, including the idea of a 17-game schedule in the NFL.
I would say that's probably – I feel like more certain of that it's going to happen.
Wow. So that is not just lip service. That is not negotiating
on
the part of
Goodell.
Okay, we'll get Bert's thoughts and why he feels that way coming up next. Also, the Jalen Ramsey trade that happened this week, the ref issues in the league, Demaryius Thomas sort of blasting the Patriots yesterday. We have a lot to get to with Bert. We'll continue with him coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
It is part of the discussions. You know, we've had very fruitful discussions on it, discussing the positive and negatives, the changes to the game that we've made over the last 10 years. And I think those changes have made a significant impact in a positive way. And so that is something that we'll continue to discuss, and it may or may not be part of whatever we ultimately decide.
Bert Breer with us here on Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior. That's Roger Goodell. Yesterday, 17 games. You think it's legit? You don't think this is just a negotiating ploy?
You guys have heard me for like the last 2 years saying that this is just a chip that they're going to pull back off the table. You know, what I was able to ascertain while I was down there and really over like the week prior to that was that as much as anything else, this is a way to make up for losing preseason games, and that the owners aren't happy with the preseason product, which, you know, it's obvious why, and they don't think it reflects well on the brand of the NFL the way those. And so, of course, they're not willing to just give up the revenue that they're getting for that. They need to make up for it somewhere else. And so I think that's going to come in two areas. One is the 17th game. The other is expanded playoffs. So I think you're probably going to see a seventh playoff team in each conference. I don't know how that's going to work logistically with the wild card weekend, but that would mean one team in each conference getting a bye and then the other six playing in the first round. And, you know, I honestly, like, I think that this is going to boil down to what the owners are willing to give up to get the 17th game. And I was under the impression before this, and I'm going to write this and it'll be up on the website later today, I was under the impression before this that really the divide on the CBA talks now, which they're hoping to wrap up before the end of the year, was the players want same games, more money. The owners want same money, more games. My understanding now is that the owners are giving financial inducements beyond just it's going to be a bigger pie that you're taking your piece of. The owners are now offering financial inducements to go to 17 games, which could get the players to move.
Which is why it's more likely to happen. Because they're saying, okay, fine, we'll give you more money, too.
Right, and it's not just, look, there's naturally going to be more money because the broadcast money is going to be bigger.
Because the revenue will be greater.
The revenue will go up, okay. And so your percentage is going to represent more money. The
revenue is likely to go up no matter what. The revenue is always going up.
But the revenue is going to go up at a higher, at a faster rate. Because they've talked to the networks about this and everything else, you know. So, I mean, I think for the league, it's about how do we make up losing, say, two preseason games, right? And to some degree, the teams, I mean, you know this, though, the teams are on their own for a big part of the business, part of the preseason games. They're cutting their own broadcast deals. Like, a lot of that is local revenue and not national revenue for the teams. Right. But the league still feels like we have to make up for any money that we lose wherever we lose it. And if they're going to walk away from two preseason games for each team, which is
That'd be a total
of 32 preseason games.
I hate 17 games so much, and I don't like the idea of expanding the regular season schedule. I like expanding the number of weeks in the regular season and adding in a second bye.
I mean, we sit here for five weeks in August. It's ridiculous. I mean, the amount of preseason games.
I think you might see
the teams are going to joints
Well,
now.
If you add a second bye and don't add any more games to each team's schedule, you're still creating an extra week of the season. And you're still creating more national 4 o'clock windows. You're still creating an extra Sunday night window. You're still creating an extra, Thursday night window. You're still creating more of those products that you can sell. And because not everyone is watching every 1 o'clock game on a Sunday, not everyone's watching every 4 o'clock game on a Sunday. Right. So you can still create national games on a Sunday, an extra week of those products,
so
which the league, I don't know why they haven't tried this before they get to the extreme of adding more games. So I've always been a proponent of add a second bye week, put in the second bye before each team is playing on a Thursday night to make Thursday night a better product along the way.
Right.
Push that Super Bowl into the President's Day weekend, which sounds like that's a part of the 17 game plan.
Right. Well, that, and
which
I
like.
So that's what I. So if you look at it naturally, right, where it is in the calendar right now, Super Bowl weekend is 2 weeks before President's Day weekend. So I think what happens then is they go 17 games over 19 weeks, which pushes the Super Bowl now to President's Day weekend. Because it was 16 over 17, you go 17 over 19.
Yeah.
So then you also have the benefit of Thursday Night Football, like you said, where you get the flexibility to create buys before Thursday Night Football, which would benefit that product. And of course, like, there's the player health and safety thing that they'll give lip service to there. And then,
but I hate 17 games so much, I wish they would just go to 18.
Here's the other thing.
Make it a nice, even number, so 9 home, 9 road.
You want to know why it's uneven?
Not worry about that stupid extra, everyone has to play a neutral site game in London or China, or wherever the hell else they want to go.
But you just nailed it there.
Of course I did.
Because that neutral site game, you build it in now.
And now there's even talks.
You build it
in.
So 17 games, 17 games, you build it in.
Bert, rumors of domestic neutral site games?
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's just like, what city would you do? What city would you do that in where it was of? I could see that in the preseason. But what city would you do that in where it's a financial benefit to the NFL? Like, what city is the NFL not in right now where it would be a huge financial benefit for them to go?
Well, let's say they want to play in a college stadium with 110,000 people.
You lose the
Bert, they want to go to Ohio State and play a football game.
You lose you lose suite revenue. You lose a lot of the revenue that you're getting locally off of advertising.
That's true.
You lose a lot. Like, if you give away one of those home games, you lose a lot. Like,
it's not a home game anymore. It's a neutral site game. It's a 17th game.
They would much rather put it. I'm telling you, they would much rather put it in Munich or Hamburg or London.
Okay,
Paris.
But that argument against losing sweet money and losing, that doesn't apply anymore if everyone's playing a neutral site game. It's no longer about taking away a home game.
About China.
It's just the extra 17th game that they're sticking somewhere.
You want to go down that hole?
No. No.
I don't want to go on that flight. Here's what I could honestly see. I could honestly see, like, where you're alternating, like, every other year, everyone has to do an international game, right? So you would go, say, over a four-year period, you would go, our 17th game's a home game. Then the next year, your 17th game's international. Then the next year, your 17th game is an away game. Then the next year, your 17th game is international. Does that make sense?
It does, but the rotating home away is just naturally unfair because you're at a disadvantage in the year that you got to go on the road. And someone else is at an advantage that could be playing in your division where they get an extra home game.
Right, but you could also argue that, like, because the rotating schedule, like, you know, the teams – so. This year, I would say the AFC division that's playing the NFC East, which is the
I get what you're saying. Is, where no matter what it's
has an advantage over the team
thing.
Is playing.
I get what you're
the division is playing the NFC West.
Yes, I understand that. You can always make the argument that based on just the fact that the schedule is based on what teams were of last season and not this season, that it's naturally unfair.
Like the Patriots this year play the Redskins and the Giants. Is that easier than playing, say, the Lions and the Bears? Of course it is, right? So that's not fair either. Like, it's just with a schedule that's not 82, like basketball, what's hockey, 84? Like, whatever it is, hockey, 162 in baseball, it's really hard to create equity.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Bert Breer's with us. Let's get to some of your calls next and more on what Roger Goodell had to say, including there's no tanking going on in his league. A quick comment on that coming back on the other side.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zillack and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior. Bert Breer from the MMQB is with us. Roger Goodell said yesterday that there's no tanking in his league. He doesn't see it. He doesn't see the tanking anywhere. Sees no tanking here. Doesn't see it in Miami. Doesn't see it anywhere.
Yeah, you know where that meeting was held?
Where?
Like 5 miles from the Dolphins facility.
Oh, really?
Can't seem to see it anywhere.
Yeah. There's nothing happening locally here or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. This league. No, he doesn't see that, nor does he see a problem with the Charger Stadium at all.
Nope. No problem there.
No problem.
You
there.
Asked him that's about just, that. That's just a matter of the secondary market. That was...
Oh, a secondary market problem.
That was bad. Like, that was...
The team needs to go back to San Diego.
I didn't think it was going to be that bad. So here, Zoe said it on Friday. He was like, wait till you see the crowd on Sunday night. I'm like, ah.
You know who their next game's against?
That was bad.
You know their next
Zoe
home?
Called
Chiefs?
That.
Packers.
Packers?
Oh, man. It should be just as bad.
It's going to be really bad.
It's an easier trip than going from Pittsburgh.
Play, I don't
mean, not much easier, but damn.
Oh,
I mean, like, and Packers are good.
Honestly, like, the biggest problem is it's the only, like, and I like the Spanos family, but they need to consider selling part of the team. That was the issue in San Diego, was because that family didn't have the capital to build
a
stadium.
Short on money.
They didn't have the capital to build a stadium on their own.
Such
right?
a great spot.
And it's
such
a great city,
such
great place for a team, good fan base.
Yep.
Like, all they needed was, like, you need an owner who's got the capital to build a stadium, because in California, you're not getting public money. Sorry. It is not.
Much like here.
Yeah, it is not happening. And so it became groveling, 15 years of groveling for public money, and then like realizing it's not going to happen. And instead of selling the team to somebody who would build a stadium on their own, it was, well, we got to do something. And so like, let's just move to LA, increase the franchise value, and be done with it. And now the league's in a spot where, I mean, look, it's not perfect for the Rams either. I mean, the Rams were that stadium.
I've heard their stadium.
They've done okay though.
Yeah, but they were but that was 50-50. Like the Niners game on Sunday that they lost.
Yeah,
like that crowd was 50-50.
It was loud.
But
loud
but,
for the Niners.
Like the NFL is going to have to make a decision here. It's either like we're okay with like the Rams having like almost like Miami, you know, where a lot of visiting fans show up at that place, right? Because it's a good place to travel
it's
to.
Destination.
There are a lot of transplants and the rest of it. So they're going to have to make a decision. Like the Rams are going to be like Miami, and the Chargers are flat out going to be like everybody who lives in Los Angeles who
Clippers.
Cheers for the other team.
Clippers.
You're the Clippers, right?
You're the Clippers.
Now. Like,
yeah.
Are you comfortable with that? Like, because that's what it really boils
has
down to.
Has the value
to.
Of that franchise increased with them moving there?
Yeah, it has.
It has?
Yep.
Just by the virtue
the
of
virtue them. Of the market.
Now no, we're there. We're in LA now.
I would assume that's going to flatten out because they don't. I mean, that new stadium is going
to
blow up the Rams' value, right? Because the Rams own that.
They own it.
They own it. It won't help the Chargers.
I've read some stuff where it's similar to Levi. And, like, remember when Levi opened, everybody's like, this isn't that great a place. But when we went to Minnesota and we went to Atlanta, you were, wow, you're blown away
by
the stadium.
I've seen the rendering.
The Rams stadium
is
ridiculous.
It is?
It's ridiculous.
And it's sort of got its own plot of land. It's got
it's like
the things built up around it that they're developing.
It's got a campus. It's got a campus. Like, the Clippers are probably going to build an arena there. And it's got the roof is almost like... It's like an open air stadium with like almost like an umbrella of a roof over it. The roof's clear, so
like
you feel like
life.
You're outside. It's, I mean, and then they've got like this Halo scoreboard which just hangs, you know, like which is like
sort of like Atlanta,
except it's hanging and it's both sides of it. It's got a lot of, I mean,
does it have an Oculus? Because that's what Bill Belichick is very, very concerned with. I mean, that guy.
Oh, the
percentage.
How long is this thing going to take to close?
The thing that looked like something else.
We're going to close this thing before the kick.
617-779-0985. Sean's in Watertown. Hi, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Cuban said it best. You know, hogs, you know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. And this is really what is happening in the NFL right now. The NFL is experiencing a period where it's really collapsing. It's the fall of Rome, really. And what we've seen, you know, with the officiating, and I mean,
have you seen the ratings? Have you seen the ratings this year?
Yeah. The ratings are through the roof. Of course,
yeah.
The ratings were through the roof in the Coliseum before the fall of Rome. I mean, they were through the roof before Rome fell. And this is what is going to happen.
That's right.
This is what is going to happen. And you look at it, where is the talent pool? I mean, they're trying to spread the game through, you know, Europe, I guess, Mexico, I guess, Asia. There's no talent pool. Whereas baseball, basketball, that talent pool is actually growing. So the product is actually really good. In football, like in Western Pennsylvania, so right, South Florida, we're shrinking.
Ohio, Texas, Florida, California, Arizona, but there's talent.
Yeah, Arizona,
there's
still... Florida, yeah, oh,
they're there.
Okay,
we'll play.
Yeah, I'll hang up and let you guys.
Okay, Sean, I think Sean makes a valid point if you're talking about, you know, you're expanding to 17 games, you're adding an extra game, you're expanding your playoffs, which nobody is demanding and nobody is looking for. And I think at some point you're wading into dangerous territory. And well, you've got this, you know, just this desire to expand at a rate, which the NFL always has. $25 billion in revenue is what the number has been for a very long time. The goal of these owners, the goal of this commissioner, they want to get to $25 billion annually.
Yeah, that's the commissioner. Look, every commissioner was hired for a reason, right? So Pete Rozelle back in the day was hired because he's a PR guy. The league needed to be promoted. You look at Paul Tagliabue. He was a lawyer during a huge, huge, like labor-intensive period, right? And they bring in Goodell. Why they bring in Goodell? Because he's so good at creating revenue streams. That's what London is. That's what going back to L.A. is. That's what 17 games, 18 games is. That's what expanded playoffs is. Thursday Night Football is creating all these different revenue streams. I would argue, and I'm with you on this.
And I think Sean's point is to go back to what Mark Cuban was saying. If your only goal is to increase the revenues and revenue, and your only thing is focusing on the revenue, at some point your product, you're going to screw it up. You're going to at some point make bad decisions that are not focused on what's for the good of the product.
What's the core of the product?
What's at our core and what we want to put together and what do we want to actually be?
Do you know why I think it is?
And you lose sight of what the hell you're doing in the first place.
I mean, Sean's
not wrong to say that because I think this league sort of lost that a long time ago.
We get in the weeds in this. Like, one thing I would say is I think part of it is that these teams have become so valuable that the entry point for ownership, I mean, you need to be a cutthroat businessman now. You need to have stepped over some people. You need to have great sense as far as, like, how to make money here or there.
It's becoming less and less about football.
The makeup of the owners now, right, because of the value of the teams. The point of entry is so difficult now that's who these guys are. You know, Steve Ross, real estate magnate, Dave Tepper, hedge fund manager. Like, that's who these guys are. Like, look at the makeup of the ownership.
I'm willing to bet that the guys who are really business savvy in this league can't stand the guys in the league that are still hanging around because they've been in the league for a long time.
Oh yeah, there's no
family
question
ties.
About that. Yeah.
And that's not to say that
it's
some
new
of the
money
long,
versus new money versus money.
Yeah, but
money
some of the old money,
point, like the Rooney, like the Rooneys.
But some of the old money still has smart people involved. Like the Maras have smart people, okay? It's not like they've been around
the Rooneys,
for a long. The Rooneys have smart people. It's not like they're a bunch of idiots, but
you're talking about people in league office.
You're
talking about the people in league office who've had jobs for 25 years.
It might be the league office. It might be someone like, you know, the Davis running the Raiders. It might, you know, I'm just saying. Like, they're like, ah, okay. You know, we could find someone better than you to run your team in 6 minutes.
He was invisible during Hard Knocks, which is kind of interesting.
I know.
But that's a function of the league's success, because anybody who truly loves football probably has been devoting too much time to loving football, not enough making the billions of dollars it requires to hold up your end of an ownership push. So the new owners coming in, just by virtue of the amount of money that these teams are worth and you have to spend on them, aren't going to be first and foremost lovers of the game. They're going to be business people.
Right.
So that's what the league has.
Because you
now
have to justify the amount you paid for it, too.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, now you've got all these, you know, investors and creditors, and hey, I got bills to pay.
Right.
And we need to make our billions, so that is what we're going to do here. I don't give a damn about what football is. I don't care about the fans. I care about my banks.
So the first thing that David Tepper did when he bought the Panthers was he basically turned North Carolina and South Carolina against each other and had them competing for the rights to the new facility they're building. Not a stadium, just their practice facility.
Where we hold our practices.
Right. And so he got North Carolina and South Carolina fighting over who was going to be the home of the Panthers. They're going to South Carolina in a few years now because South Carolina gave him a bunch of money to put the facility there.
Over where they practice, not where they play games, not where they park cars.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.